How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Reformation is known for a lot of things. A lot of stuff gets kind of dumped at the doorstep of the Reformation that it doesn't deserve, and a lot of things get underemphasized. One of the surviving hallmarks of the Reformation, and it's a good thing, are these solas, these alones of the Reformation, these statements that are intended to be exclusive. So when Lutherans say grace alone, you got to ask, what do they mean by grace? When they say faith alone, because they're excluding all other things, you got to ask, what do you mean by faith? Or scripture alone, what do you mean by scripture? What is scripture? Is it in fact God speaking to us? And if this is a relationship, and Lutherans don't eschew that language either, even though it's abused by other Christians, what kind of a relationship? How does it start? What kind of a relationship does God establish with us in Jesus Christ? Part one of our series on the Reformation solas, we'll talk today about scripture alone. Dr. Daniel Pavola joins us. He's chairman of the Department of Theology and professor of New Testament at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and he's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. Dr. Pavola, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
When Lutherans talk about a relationship with God, what do we mean?
You know, that really was the focus on this book, as we think of the gift of relationship. And so while there certainly is a reciprocal nature of any relationship, give, take, up and down, Lutherans have always, with the strength of grace, means of grace, seeing God taking the initiative, God reaches to us. Jesus says, I call you friends. That's his initiative, and so that was the focus here. A relationship with God that is his initiative, his beginning, and of course his sustaining. It doesn't leave us as inanimate objects, but it certainly takes God first to make that relationship. And that's a large part of what the book is stressing.
Why do Lutherans focus on God's word?
Because somebody's got to say the first word in a relationship. I talk about in the book the relationships that are common among us. I use Holly and myself. And by the way, I got full permission from Holly to use all the stories about our dating and first date and second date, which was bowling, by the way. Never have gone bowling since. But it takes somebody to take the first word. And you don't say it at the same moment. And so it is also with God. God takes that first word, and with that, he begins a relationship on that which is clear, understood immediately by us. It's one of our Lutheran hallmarks, is the clarity of Scripture and its immediacy to us. So with that word, we have both the direction we need, law, but we've got the gospel and all its richness and its dominance.
Describe what Lutherans mean when they use that phrase, grace alone.
Well, in the book, I put it in the terms of a relationship that has begun. And naturally, when you begin a relationship, an important one, again, let's think about a dating relationship or a child who's, you know, as a teenager is having maybe some tensions with a parent, you're going to naturally ask the question, how is it going? And, well, you hope it's going well. And if it is, you're going to be faced with another question. Well, why? Why do you think it's going well? In terms of God, we have to ask those questions. How's it going? I mean, how is my relationship with God? And if I'm bold enough to say, it's good, it's going really well, then my conscience, my failed past, and I think people around me are going to say, really? How do you know that? Grace is the answer. The means of grace are God's reassurance to us that it is well, with us. That old hymn, it is well with my soul. But even better, it is well between ourselves and God. Having been justified by faith, we are at peace with God. That Romans 5 gift is that answer. So I think we naturally have a question, how is it with me and God? And grace alone is the answer. It is well because of him and what he's done for us.
The other phrase we often use is faith alone. What do we mean by that?
Well, let's take that relationship one step further. So, again, a dating relationship works really well. And it's kind of natural, too. You remember, I've been here at Concordia University for 23 years. I'm surrounded by 20-year-olds who are in the thick of the excitement of dating relationships. If it's been going well, then the next question you got to ask them is, where's this going? Where's this relationship going? And by the way, I've had wonderful times with some impromptu surveys of my students on these questions. They make them very lively. Well, where's it going? And if you're hoping it's going all the way to marriage, family, forever and ever, amen, then you're doing that by some faith. And isn't that also what faith is? Faith is accepting the promises of the means of grace. Faith is accepting the answer that God has already given us. That is, he's adopted us. We are his own. We are the sheep within his flock, and he holds us in a firm hand. Faith is saying, I know the answer. I know where this is going because of what he has said and what he has done.
How do these three things that we're going to discuss at length in this series, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, how do they together point to Christ alone?
Well, you know, that's really the center, isn't it, Todd? You said them exactly the way the Concordia Publishing House title has them and such. In the book, we actually began with Scripture, and I think, not to be dogmatic about that, let's take Scripture alone as the message of Christ. From Old Testament on, we know there must come one who's going to crush the serpent's head. We celebrate his drawing near in the Old Testament, and his arrival, and his coming again. This message cannot just be about us. Our faith cannot be about me, because what a shallow and empty thing that is. It is the Word of God that alone makes my relationship. When God says, I see you as I see my Son, then I better have that Word that describes his Son, because if God chooses to see me as he sees his Son, then my biography is Christ's word, Christ's life. My autobiography would be nothing more than me pointing to him and saying, here, I hide myself in Christ alone. That's the word. Grace? Well, what other answer do I have for why would God let me off? Why would God choose to declare me innocent, though as a just judge, he knows full well I am guilty? In the book, I go on quite a long excursus, you might say, in terms of defining grace. And it's not our promises, our comparisons, our excuses. Oh, we got lots of those. Grace is that wonderful mystery that is God's motivation to declare us innocent. But we're not innocent. And so we're left with, well, why do you do that? Grace, which points to Jesus alone and his payment. And then faith. You know, faith is yes, that's the, you might say, the reciprocal part of the relationship. Faith is action, that's absolutely true, but it's pure gift, and it's only because his words have come to us that we, well, believe them, and we believe that he is, and that in knowing him, there is also then to us the gift that he's given. And so by his speaking to us, we hear his word, and therefore, we know his story and him. So I think that sequence, we could do a sequence in any number of ways, grace, faith, and then Scripture, but it seems to me Scripture, I need that first. I need the story of him, and then grace, which explains why would that story be told for me, and faith then says, and that's where I'm walking, that's who I'm with, and brings about the action. So could have gone any number of ways, but we'll go with that sequence.
So you've kind of started into this, but why is it so important to emphasize that it is God who speaks to us first in Scripture?
I'm going to go back to relationship, and in the book, Chapter 2, I talk about how Holly and I first met. We were both students at Minnesota State University. It's a big school, 8,000 students, so gosh, you sure didn't know everybody. And how did we get this relationship started? Well, because one day I saw the cutest girl on the whole campus standing in front of the cafeteria waiting for a friend, and I walked up and said hello. Golly, 40-plus years later, we're still saying hello every day. But it all started because I said hello. By the way, she says I don't remember that day because I can't tell exactly what she was wearing. She says, what was I wearing that day? I don't know, honey. You look great. You were cute. How was my hair? I don't know. But, you know, I do remember the first words. What exactly I said, I don't know. Nothing all that clever, I'm sure. But it takes that first speech. And isn't that for us? If we are trying to reach up to heaven and somehow get God's attention, if we were going to try to impress him with whatever words, promises, excuses that we could come up with, get in line. Billions of people will be trying to do that. And why in the world would my voice matter or be noticed by God? And if it is noticed, why in the world would it bring anything good to me? No, God takes initiative. He chooses us, and he has done so like an adoptive parent, a little Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, he has chosen us. He has adopted us. And so he has selected us with the security of his word coming to us. Isn't that just a marvelous treasure to know that that word has come to us by his action? So I cherish the word. I'm glad to repeat it, but it's his gift, not mine. He had the first word and starts the relationship.
Dr. Daniel Pavola is author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's part one of a series with him on the solas of the Reformation. Today, we're talking about Scripture alone. On the other side of the break, we'll get some examples of what happens when God speaks this first word.
Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States, performing more than 300,000 abortions every year, more than a third of all abortions performed in the country.
National Right to Life President Carol Tobias talking about her presentation at the one and only 2019 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Planned Parenthood operates as a nonprofit, yet in its most recent annual report, the organization showed revenue of $1.6 billion, about a third of those funds coming from U.S. taxpayers. The organization talks about the healthcare services they provide, but always, always at the top of its list is so-called reproductive health care, the killing of unborn children.
You can meet and hear Carol Tobias making the case against Planned Parenthood at the 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
From fast facts to FAQs, overtures to offerings, get the inside scoop on the upcoming National Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Special pre-election coverage includes biographies, personal statements, and interviews introducing readers to each of the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 4th. We're starting a series on the solas of the Reformation, Scripture Alone today with Dr. Daniel Pavola, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. You were talking before the break about that first word, and you write this, Dr. Pavola. This first word by God happens repeatedly in Scripture, often turning people from despair or destruction. Give us an example.
Oh, man. God, how do you beat Saul being turned into the greatest missionary, Paul, Acts 9. You know, here's a man, Acts 9, Saul, Paul, the Pharisee, riding off to Damascus, intent on arrest, imprisonment, perhaps even death to Christians. I mean, this is a man set on destruction. And boom, the word of Jesus comes to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And by the way, don't we need much better voices? Well, at least I need a much better voice to carry that line, those words off. I don't know if any of us have the depth, the seriousness of that. That word to Paul creates this new relationship and a new understanding, turns a man from destruction to, well, first I suspect, a feeling of near destruction of himself, because immediate blindness, hearing that voice with all its power, and the message, why are you persecuting me? I can't help but imagine Paul spent 3 days in intense law orientation of what have I done, oh my heavens. And yet he prayed, and God answered, healing, change, a new revelation of who Jesus is, pure gospel, and off he goes. So, you know, I think we could see that transformation word again and again, but pretty hard to beat St. Paul as maybe the champion. And I'm prejudiced. I was the pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Butternut, Wisconsin for 12 years. So I just think St. Paul is that's a pretty good title for a Lutheran church, a pretty good hero for Lutherans as far as change.
Why can we trust what God says in Scripture?
You know, isn't that one of our hallmarks as Lutherans, that the Scripture brings its own trustworthiness, and it carries that in a, I would say, Todd, almost in an effortless way. It reminds me of an old book, CPH, What Jesus Means to Me. I'm looking at it. It's in a bookshelf right across from me. I got that old book when I was confirmed. That's a long time ago. And there's a line in there I remember. It says, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. Isn't that a great line? The love of Jesus, what it is, none but his loved ones know. What is the love of Jesus? Read his word, and you'll know it. Well, how do I become one of his loved ones? Read his word, and you'll know it. There's an effortlessness to the convincing quality of the Scriptures. Nothing more needs to be added. Maybe we give a little reference there to, for instance, Luke chapter 16, where, of course, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man wants someone to be sent back, risen from the dead, a more convincing, he thinks, action than simply having the word of God. As Abraham said, they have Moses, they have the word. He has to be told that even if someone rises from the dead, they won't be convincing. If they've thrown away, rejected the word, nothing more. But on the other hand, the word alone, it simply carries that convincing power. The story of Jesus is so compelling that when we hear it, we say, it is true. He is my Savior. When Jesus says, I call you my friends, yes. And of course, that's why we need grace then, because as soon as he says, I've called you my friends, or I've chosen you from the foundation of the world, that wonderful news, Scripture, now it immediately needs grace to say, why? Why would you choose me? I'm the last. I'm the least. Grace, God's motivation to forgive us on the basis of Christ. So if I have the news of the Word, and that Word points me to grace founded in Christ, then I've got the companions, those two that can walk with me in faith. So I'm hoping that those three work together well for people, and it makes a triangle of trust, you might say, an action that fills our life.
What do you mean when you say that God's word to us needs no interpreter?
Oh, isn't that? Again, one of our hallmarks as Lutherans is nobody needs to come between you and the Scripture. Right now I'm holding up the small text Bible that I used all those years in Butternut when I was a parish pastor. It's as simple as can be. And by the way, I'm all for the Lutheran Study Bible. All for it, absolutely. And it's really big and such. But you don't even need, and I'm all for those wonderful interpretive notes. Great. But just the Word itself in the simplest text can be read and has this wonderful effect. Let's go back to a relationship. You know, if you're starting a relationship, I hear this all the time from my wonderful students. They've been dating for 3-4 weeks, something like that, just getting going. And he says to her something like, "You're the best." What does that mean? Many a late, long night conversation between roommates has been focused on a phrase like, "He said, I'm the best." What does that mean? Oh, the debate, oh, the worry, oh, the up, oh, the down, oh. You can imagine the potential for either rejoicing or confusion. Well, God doesn't leave us with that. Wouldn't that be terrible if God gave us nebulous words that left us simply wrangling with each other? What does he mean? The clarity of, "I have chosen you, I have adopted you, you are the sheep in my flock, in my hand. Nobody takes you out of my hand." Isn't that a marvelous clarity? I think with that, we can say that means he has come to save us. John chapter 3, verse 17, he did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. And so one of our wonderful Lutheran hallmarks is you can read it, you can understand it. Now, you know, there's always a funny tension with that, because at the same time, I'm a teacher of the New Testament. And if it were absolutely only clear, well, we would just hand out New Testaments to all our students and say, "Read on, no need to come to class." No, do come to class. Class is good. And there's certainly a value in our sharing, our growth, our mutual encouragement in the Word. But at its heart, the Word is clear. What does he mean? You've got it at the first hearing. So I think it's a nice balance opposite the relationship questions that especially my wonderful 20-year-old students spend many nights discussing and debating.
You say that God's relationship with us changes the hearing of his Word. How is that?
Oh, yeah, it really does. And if I may, it's like in the third chapter, I give an absolutely true story. We have a bench outside the doors to the chapel. And I love that bench because it's kind of like sitting in the balcony, you know, and you're kind of in chapel, you're kind of out of chapel. It's just, it's like sitting in the back row of the balcony. I came one morning and a wonderful couple. I like these people very much. I'll call them John and Amy. It's not their names. And by the way, despite this, they were absolutely married. They're joyful. They're a marvelous couple. Well, they were dating for many, many years, and it was inevitable. We knew they were going to get married at some point. And she was saying to him, some things are very intense. Now, he was looking straight ahead with a sort of glazed over look. And she was making clear some things that he needed to know. And he just looked to me like he needed a little help. So they're sitting on that bench outside the chapel, and I swooped in. And I said, "John, did this conversation start with something like, 'We need to talk'?" And his eyes kind of came to life. And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, here's what you do. Next time Amy says, 'We need to talk,' before she keeps on going, you say, 'About how wonderful I am and how lucky you are to be with me? You bet. Let's talk.'" Well, John thought that was great. I think it's a pretty good line. Amy was not that impressed. By the way, Holly is not impressed at all with it, but I still think it's pretty good. And that changes those words. And when God says to us, "We need to talk," oh my gosh. I mean, Todd, think about if you could hear that in the deepest, you know, James Earl Jones kind of voice. God says to you, "We need to talk." That could be painful. None of us would sign up for that. But at its heart, this is might be how we could hear those words. God says, "We need to talk." And we say, "About how wonderful you are, God, and how lucky, blessed we are to be with you. Absolutely. Let's talk." And when we know the balance of God's word is both law and gospel, then we can talk. Not talk as in, God, it's time for you to talk, but we can hear him. We can hear him initiate that conversation. We can even hear him say, we need to talk. But we know where that's going to go, not in our condemnation, but rather in how wonderful he is and how blessed we are to be with him. Understanding that, it changes how we hear God. It changes our approach to God. I think it opens us up. It's an antidote to our times of worry and such. Instead of worry, say, God, we should talk about how wonderful you are. And just remind me how blessed I am to be with you. So it's that kind of transformation.
Dr. Daniel Pavla is our guest. We'll talk about how God's word comes to us in both law and gospel right after this.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
It's part one of our series on Reformation Solas with Dr. Daniel Pavla. Today, Scripture Alone. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. In about 10 minutes, we'll discuss wanting better for your children with Deaconess Rose Adel, and then we'll wrap up today's program talking to Emily Jasinski about Hollywood's boycott double standard. Dr. Pavla, talk to us and describe, if you would, about how God's word comes to us in both law and gospel.
Yeah, you know, one of the fun things about this book was I got to use more of our traditional or classic Lutheran resources. I have many references to Formula of Concord, the whole book of Concord, his catechism, and Walther's Proper Distinction of Law and Gospel is really prime here. And so those are at the back of each chapter, and I trust and I hope that people will use them. Also, hymns that are, you know, fitting just for that particular topic. And Walther is really the place to go here. So I hope that people pull off the shelf the Proper Distinction of Law and Gospel, and they take a bit of a journey, and I highlight some of the key places, a bit of a journey through those distinctions of law and gospel, the necessity of law to prepare for gospel, the divinity in both. It is both God's word in law and in gospel. It is that they are exclusive. I don't want to push them aside from each other, but that when we speak to law, we speak law. But when the law is done, it is all only gospel. And we try to make clear that you can't muddy those two together with conditional ifs or whens and such. Those distinctions, I hope, come through that, I need the seriousness of God's law, his commands. And when I have reached the effect that they need, which is, no more excuses, no explanations, no more promises, then God steps in and pure gospel, the beautiful, refreshing gospel alone of, because of Christ, not me, here is forgiveness and forgiveness alone. So I hope those distinctions come through. And again, I hope the book is an incentive. Certainly don't stop with me. Continue the journey into the Concordia, the confessions, into law gospel, and savor some of those other resources that the book highlights and points it to.
So describe the three ways that God speaks to us in his law.
Well, you know, Todd, we've used curb, mirror, and rule for a long time, and I think they work well still, and I'm just going to animate them just a little bit. Here in Wisconsin, the orange cones are going up all over the place, and we're tearing apart, you know, the roads. I'm sure it's there for you, too, and but for us, our interstate was torn to shreds this last year, and hats off to the guys who fixed it for us, but that meant we needed those concrete barriers going down the middle of what's normally a two-lane interstate, because all the truckers are coming from the north just 3 feet away from me on my motorcycle going, you know, the other direction. I really love those concrete barriers that stand, you know, the ones stand about 3 feet tall, and I just like the security that I'm here on my motorcycle, and 3-4 feet away is an 80,000-pound, you know, trucker coming out of Green Bay or Marshfield and all these places. And you stay on your side, I'm going to stay on my side. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the commandments, the law, as a curb? Now, it doesn't mean you can't bash through the curb. Yeah, that happens. But ideally, it's just a great picture. I'm going to stay on my side, you stay on your side. I'm not going to steal from you, you don't steal from me, just as an example. Of course, here, as soon as those barriers are gone, you know, we're going from, we have a 70-mile-an-hour speed limit on I-43, yeah, but not when they're tearing it apart. We're down 50 or so. The moment those barriers are gone and we're back, what do people do? Man, flying. They are flying down that road, so trying to make up the time. Look in your mirrors, you see them all lit up, blue and red. That's at least the colors of the Wisconsin State Patrol. Yeah, that tells you you pushed it a little too hard. We all know that. Mm-hmm. That's the law, too, isn't it? It's that mirror that says, oh, yeah, these lights are about you. And don't explain it away. Don't blame somebody else. It's you. The law comes with that pointedness of mirrors all lit up. But then, you know what? It's also a rule. There's many ways to do this one, but I like the GPS imagery. Most of us use our phones or there's a GPS on your dash, and my wife and I, we're kind of glad to put away the paper map, and it's maybe tucked away there in the glove box. But isn't it nice just to give a little credence to Siri or whoever your voice is on your phone when, where do we go? I don't have to make up that decision anymore. I'm looking over there, and Siri tells me, turn right, 0.2 mile. Got it. I'm turning right. And I like a little direction. Well, I mean, isn't that the beauty of the law? When after, yeah, it's been a barrier to keep me safe. It's been a mirror to say, yeah, this is you. Don't try to get out of it. Yeah, but what do I do? How do I drive? Where do I go? There's the law. So it's old. It's maybe a little animated with some travel ideas, but I think it still works pretty well.
So what message does the gospel specifically bring to us after the law has done that work in showing us our sin?
Go, you're free. Let's keep on that highway image. Get stopped for speeding, that middle one. And by the way, you were speeding. There's no explaining this away. You are flat out speeding. And the state trooper walks away, right? He's taking your license and registration all. He's in the car, and you know you're dead to rights. And, oh, by the way, you're praying like mad. I bet you state troopers generate more prayer than many a pastor. No offense to pastors, but, man, I tell you, who's not praying their little heart out while the man is there running your plates, and he comes back, and he says, go. I mean, isn't that the amazing word of the gospel? Go. Really? Go. Forgiven. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? State troopers usually couch it in terms of law. Slow down, behave. This is a warning. But gospel says the most amazing thing. Go. Your faith has saved you. Go. Forgiven, free. Go with me as your Father, your Savior, the Shepherd. That's an amazing thought, isn't it, that the gospel gives us that news after the law has crushed us. To me, that's a good image.
You say that God's relationship to us, you say of this relationship, this is a relationship that is driven by God's choice. What do you mean by that?
When I was a little boy, I had a book that my mother read to me, and I don't recall the title, but the essence of that book was a mom saying, if you lined up all the little boys in the world, and I could only choose one, I'd choose you. And I suspect our listeners are right now saying, oh, good grief, how does he not know the title of that book? Well, I don't remember the title, but I remember my mother reading me that book. And then the essence of that is, Mom always called me Danny. Danny, if we lined up all the little boys in the world and I could choose anyone, I'd choose you. Oh, man, who doesn't love to hear that? And isn't that God's amazing choice? Individually, he says, I choose you. I've chosen you before the foundation of the world. But here's the thing. This elective choice by God is both intensely personal. He chooses me. And that is in no way diminished by me hearing him say, I choose you. And I choose everyone who's listening. And I've saved the world through my son. You know, isn't that the most remarkable relationship? That the choice by God of me, I'm thrilled. But yet, at the same time, he equally chooses all those who are called, all those who are saved. It doesn't diminish his choice of me. Only God can do that, and that kind of elective choice.
So finally, in that very vein, how can knowing that God loves the whole world, just as he loves us, reassure us even more?
You know, Todd, it takes me back to the old catechism, and again, we refer to the catechism in the notes. I think almost every chapter I point us to the catechism, and when I'm saying old, I'm pointing at the old blue catechism. I'm going way back, and as I'm my memory is not exact and perfect here, but one of the key questions that I always cherished as a kid just growing up was, how do I know that I'm saved? And the essence of that answer was, my salvation is as certain as I know that God sent his son to save the world. Because I'm part of the world, I'm saved. Isn't that a wonderful security in my ordinariness, in my commonality? I'm not saved because I'm something special. I'm saved because I'm merely this. I'm part of the world. And God sent his son to save the world. God paid the price of the entire world. So, yep, he paid it for me. That's a beautiful explanation that, yes, still preserves the uniqueness and the preciousness of God, I chose you. And God would say what my mom said to me, Danny, I chose you. But that's also resting on this wonderful foundation, but I chose the world. I called and forgave all. So, you know, we're a unique people as Christians to have that both and of the individuality and the universality of God's love.
Dr. Daniel Pavla is chairman of the Department of Theology and professor of New Testament at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Grace, Faith, Scripture, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Dr. Pavla, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, Todd. Thank you.
Deaconess Rose Adel will join us on the other side of the break. She's written recently a column titled, Let's Want Better for Our Children, but what does better actually look like? We'll find out after this.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $125 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $125 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., We look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.